Thank you, Lynn. Good evening. Oh, my name is John. Might need to be turned down a bit. I sound like I'm in a cave. Hello. Is that getting better?
Yes.
Okay. My name's John. I'm another assistant here. So Stu, Miles and Paul, we all look after this church. But if you're new, welcome. And if you're not new, welcome. And it's very sad that we're saying goodbye to Lindor, but thank you so much for all you've done for us while you're here. Let me pray, and we'll get started. We're looking at work. Dear Heavenly Father, you are a great God. You're a God that has not left us in the dark, but you've let us know your mind and your will, and you've shown us your wisdom. Tonight, as I speak, may I not speak my words, but your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let me take you back to ancient history. 1984. You guys laugh, but these guys didn't. 1984, there was a philosopher of our time then. And he said this, "'Cause I'm not getting younger, life's too good to work. That is something I'm learning. Everybody wants to work, no, not me. Everybody wants to work, no, not me. Everybody wants to work. No, not me. Okay. Sing it for us, Paul.
No.
I
hate that song.
And another line. It says, well, I could sleep until lunchtime. Well, 1984, I was 14. Oh, 14? Yeah. No, I was 18. So old. This band, but most of you won't know who it is. Does anyone know who it is?
Uncanny X-Men.
Uncanny X-Men with Brian Mannix. Did anyone see Spicks and Specks last Wednesday? Last Wednesday, there was a shrivel old, great-looking man with peroxide hair. That was Brian Mannix. But another line, he said, doctor, lawyer, banker, fool. So according to Brian, work was something to be avoided. Even more so, it was actually to be seen foolish to work too hard. It was like you're ripping yourself off. When I used to do a lot of fishing, amongst my non-Christian fishing mates, they used to say this all the time. They said, a bad day's fishing is better than a good day at work. Okay? So I ask you, what's your attitude towards work? How should we view work? And when we look at God's word, it's actually quite conflicting how work gets presented. But when we look at these conflicting views, it does reflect our own experience of work. Because work can be a great source of fulfillment, a great source of significance for people. And work can be very satisfying and very rewarding. But on the other hand, it could be a drudgery, a trap, almost an enslavement. And we see this reality spelled out for us in the first couple of chapters in the Bible. Genesis 1:26, God said this, "Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Friends, because we're created in image, we are to rule. That's actually our work. We are to manipulate and subdue the earth, and that was before the fall. So work is a good thing. It's actually what we're created to do. And like God, work was very satisfying. So at the end of every day, when God made the heavens and the earth, what did he say? And it was good. And I'm pretty sure if you have been working, you would have had those days where you kind of go, yep, that was a good day and it was enjoyable. But we can always point to many days when work aren't quite as good. And we see this spelled out for us in Genesis 3. After Adam and Eve sinned, God said this, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it and all days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it were you taken, from dust you are, from dust you will return." And we see here, because of sin, work becomes a toil. Work is frustrating. And work is a necessity. And again, you don't have to look too far than your own experience to realise that in your work. Can I also say here, work is not just paid work. It's all those things that we have to do in life. At our house party, for most of you who have been, so some of you who have been there, those that weren't, I was interviewing a lady named Anna. And I sort of said this, "Anna, so you don't work, you stay at home and mind the kids." Slap on the back of the head. She corrected me. And she was right to correct me. She goes, "No, I don't get paid, but I do work." Okay? Being paid does not equal work. Work are all the things that you do to survive. Same if you're retired, same if you're a student. There's work to be done, even though you don't get paid. In matter of fact, if you're a student, your primary work is to study hard and not to spend too long at uni. Finish the course efficiently. Unless you get paid to study, then you can do that. But the job there is to study. Be diligent in that. Friends, we are created for work, and work can be a joy. But because of sin, work can also be a frustration. And that's a reality, isn't it? So which brings us to Proverbs. What does Proverbs tell us about work? But when we look at Proverbs, it doesn't tell us what we should be like. It actually tells us what we should not be like. Because in Proverbs, we only look at a really small part of work. And that is, it paints us a picture of the sluggard. Great word, sluggard. It's a great put down, isn't it? You sluggard. But like the word, if you didn't know what that word meant, you would feel, no, I don't want to be called that. Okay? And Proverbs paints us a picture of what the sluggard is. It's a comical character. And each time you read about it, you have a little smile on your face, a little smirk. But it's like those cartoonists, like Louie and those that commentate on our society. The genius of those comics is that you do smile, and you have a bit of a laugh or a chuckle, but then you go, oh, that's actually me. Or, oh, yeah, that is the truth. And when we look at Proverbs and the picture that Proverbs paint of the sluggard, we will do the same thing. So let's meet the sluggard. In Proverbs 6:9, it says this, "How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep?" A sluggard lies down, not wanting to get up. He doesn't want to do anything, he just wants to sleep. In matter of fact, the sluggard wants to spend as little energy as he or she can. Stop looking around at each other. A sluggard, he doesn't work. And not only that, his aim is actually not to do anything at all. In chapter 26, that paints an even clearer picture. "As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed." You can see it. And does it move anywhere? No. Even turning for it's probably hard. The sluggard don't want to move. It wants to be there. The sluggard is lazy. To do as little as possible is his aim. And we'll keep on reading. Verse 15 says this, chapter 15 says this, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. So here the sluggard is actually contrasted to the upright. And chapter 21 it says this, all day long he craves for more, but the righteous gives without sparing. So the sluggard is not upright and is not righteous. Friends, at the heart of the sluggard, and which we don't actually see, is actually there's a dishonesty of being a sluggard. Let me explain. I used to work in a hospital. Before ministry, I used to be a nursing manager of an emergency department. And I used to look after lots of staff. We had a staff about 120. Most of them were okay. But every now and again, blokes... Well, it's usually the blokes that did this. I don't know why. It might be just because it's blokes. But there's a bunch of blokes that would turn up for work and that would be really either really slow or they'd be missing from where they're meant to be or they're just plain stuffing about. These guys would have more sick leave than other people. Their work would not get done and done on time, and the standard of their work wasn't up to scratch. And because it was an emergency department, things had to get done. So when these people were working, what happened? Other people had to cover them. And you would pull them up, and you would have these chats to them. And they'll pull up their socks for a little bit, and they'll try really hard. But eventually, they'll fall back into their pattern. And like I said, I was one of the managers, and one of my roles was actually to actually have that talk with them. And I would talk to them, but rather than saying that, hey, you're slack, I'm going, hey, look at what you're doing. Because you're being lazy, because you're not doing your job well, I pointed out to them they're actually ripping off their friends and colleagues. Because other people were doing their work that they were doing. Then I would tell them that they were ripping off the hospital. They were being paid to do a certain job to a certain standard. So how can they be in good conscience not putting their 100% in for that money? How can in good conscience they be taking the money from the hospital? And finally, they were actually ripping off the public. People coming into the hospital expect a level of care. But because they were too lazy, the people didn't get it. They would get it because other people would fill in. But it compromised the whole department. Do you see how being lazy rips people off? Because they don't carry their weight. And being lazy means that you're quite self-centred, where you go, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered, so I'm going to let other people do it. It's self-serving, and in most jobs, if you're lazy and you continue like that, you will get the sack, and rightly so. Because the sluggard is a burden on everybody. We read in Proverbs 10:26, talks about the sluggard, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who sent him. It's a great picture, isn't it? Bitterness of vinegar, you know, and irritation to the eyes. That's what a sluggard is, bitter and irritant. In Proverbs 18, it says this, one who is slack in his work is the brother of one who destroys. The sluggard is a hindrance. the sluggard destroys the work rather than build it up. They are not only non-productive themselves, but by existing and being a sluggard, they actually pull everyone else down with them, because people have to spend energy doing their work and not just their own. It's not just the workplace, is it? If a sluggard is at home, lying on the couch, you know, watching TV, playing Xbox, whatever you do, you know, I'm not pointing at, I'm not looking at anyone, please don't look. Someone is supporting you so that you're able to do that. Someone's paying the internet bill. Somebody's paying. It's either your parents, other family members, or social welfare. The sluggard is a burden that other people have to carry. And when we look at the sluggard, we also see that the sluggard never finishes what they start. Or they never do a good job. In Proverbs 12 it says that the lazy man does not roast his game. Which means that he goes through the trouble of actually hunting and finding game and putting it on his table, but he can't be bothered cooking it. And the one that was read for us by Lynn in verse 26, the sluggard buries his hands in the dish, but is too lazy to bring it to his mouth. Imagine sitting at the dining room table, you make the effort there, so you go, oh, I can't be bothered. It's a comical picture. But friends, it is what the sluggard does. Half-done jobs. Okay? People who says mañana. Who knows what that means?
Tomorrow.
Don't do what you can today if you can do it tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. Are you one of those people that pushes everything on, I'll do it tomorrow, I've got plenty of time next week, I'll do it when I'm not busy, I'll do it when I'm not watching this TV show? The sluggard does only half the job, and which in the end is futile. Might as well not have started at all. So all they've already started is actually a waste. And when we look at the sluggard, then we see the consequences of being a sluggard in Proverbs. Proverbs 10 says this, lazy hands make a man poor. Proverbs 6:11, poverty comes on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Proverbs 20, a sluggard does not plough in season, so at harvest he looks but finds nothing. Proverbs 21, the sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. In the end, the sluggard will be ruined financially, socially, because he wants to do nothing. And finally, it will actually lead to death. See, when we see the sluggard, we see him as a fool. We see him not being who God wants him to be. So what do we call that when you do be something that God doesn't want you to be?
Sin.
Sin, thank you. It's sin. And where does sin lead you to?
Death.
Death. Okay? Being a sluggard will lead to death. And the sad thing about it is that we also see that the sluggard deceives himself. Proverbs 26:16 says this, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. She'll be right. I'm causing no harm. Now, I've got it. I'm really smart. I can do all this, not to do all this work and get all these things done. It's a lie. When we look at the sluggard, we see him as foolish. That's how Proverbs paints him. He's the, you know, that picture of putting his hand in a bowl and too lazy to bring it out. It's foolish. And laziness will bring ruin upon himself, and he doesn't even realize it. As a matter of fact, he will make up excuses and justify why he doesn't. So there's a portrait of what a sluggard is. So what do we do with this? We find that answer in Proverbs 24. It says this. This is Solomon. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up from everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and a stone wall was in ruins. And I applied my heart to what I observed and I learnt a lesson from what I saw. That's what we're meant to do. Apply our heart and learn a lesson. So what is the lesson that we learn when we look at the sluggard that's portrayed for us in Proverbs? Friends, it is a caricature, so we will have a giggle. But there's some truth in it. And it's something that we actually could do, have to ask ourselves. And something I do all the time, because I'm pretty sure I'm more sluggard than a overworker. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I worked in emergency. I needed enough stress in my life to actually get me motivated. But I know that of myself. So I need to ask myself these questions that the sluggard asks of me. Am I lazy? Is my laziness causing harm to others? Do other people have to cover me? Do I enjoy my lifestyle at other people's expense? Am I a burden or am I a blessing? Do I only do half a job? Am I a gunner? Yeah, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Next week, I'm going to ring you. Do you procrastinate? Do you put off things? This one for me bites quite deeply. If you know me, you'll know my study. My study is actually an absolute mess. It's just messy. That's how I operate. It's just messy. But when I've got something important on, some work that I actually do, like study for exam or write an essay or whatever, guess what? My study becomes very clean. Because I like to distract myself by doing other things than what I've done. So I do procrastinate. And friends, the other thing that Proverbs does tell us is that we're very good at kidding ourselves. We're very good at painting ourselves in a better light. So sometimes we're not the best judge when asking these questions. So it might be worth asking someone you trust and love. And if you're like me, and as I go through that list, there are areas that I need to change in my life. And I am foolish in these areas. And that's what the book of Proverbs does. It shows you where you're not right. But when we look at Proverbs, it doesn't actually give us how not to be a sluggard. And the reality, if left to myself, and it's up to me to change myself, I'll be like those guys. I could change for a little bit at my own effort. But those changes only last a little while and won't be sustained. So what do I need? When I see my sins and my character flawed, how do I change it? I can't change it myself, can I? Because my nature needs to be changed. And the ability, the power to change is not found in Proverbs. It's actually not found in the Old Testament. It's pointed to, but it's not found there. So what Proverbs and all that does, it drives you. It pushes you to go, okay, where can I find this change? and push you straight to Jesus. Proverbs gives you a clue, because wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. How do you know God? You can't know God without Jesus. It's only through Jesus' work on the cross that real change happens. It's through repentance and forgiveness that's earned by Jesus that we change. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that our nature gets changed. We actually live a life of repentance now, don't we, this side of Jesus? Where the Holy Spirit will convict us of our failings. And it points us to the cross. It says, repent, you'll be forgiven, but we change through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we can't be a sluggard. That's what Proverbs is telling us. It's actually a sin. But you cannot, if you are a sluggard or you've got those traits, you can't change without Jesus. Friends, a couple of clarifications. A sluggard is not about being unemployed. There are many people who want to work and trying hard to work, but they can't find work. Being a sluggard is about being lazy. It's not about your employment status. So don't ever hear me say, just because you don't have work, you're a sluggard. We also need to know that work is what we do. It's not who we are. We cannot find our own identification by our jobs. I can't say, I am a minister and that's who I am. No, I'm a child of God. That defines me. And as our New Testament reading shows, we need to be working at everything that we do. Remember, work is not just paid work. It's when you decide to make effort in doing something. Whatever you decide is worth your effort, we need to do it for Jesus. We must get it right. No matter what type of work you find yourself, you're working to honour Jesus. So if you get that, it means that it doesn't matter what job you're doing, it's not less honouring. So when I was working as a nurse, and to what I'm doing now, I was honouring God the same. Because God wanted me to be a nurse in those times, and God now wants me to do this. Tomorrow, God wants me to go do something else. I'll be doing that, because it's honouring to God. So it's not the type of work that's important. It's how you do it. Friends, to honour God best is being where He wants you to be. To honour God best is by obeying Him. And what we see in Proverbs is that to honour God, you cannot be a sluggard. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you're a God that loves us, a God that teaches us how you want us to live. Lord, I pray that we find comfort in your Son, we find comfort for what he's done on the cross. Lord, help us to be the person that you want us to be. In Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, in the name of God, Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to pray to you. Thank you that you have broken into the world and made